Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Billy Bones. Good morning to you, Charmin' Billy. When I last saw your hand, you were I'm in the wrong lyric here. Where is this? Great, stop the music. Listening to The Savage Nation, the Halloween show. Yes, I will give you the news, I promise you. Yes, I will tell you why Amnesty for Illegals will bankrupt America even further and why it's a terrible idea. But I need to start from the top. While all the children are out collecting their booty, I must tell you, I put a pail of raisins outside my door. I know I'm one of those guys. I'm against giving kids candy. I won't do it. I know that when I come home after the show tonight, the pail will either be filled with toilet paper and the raisins, or all the raisins will be there opened up and spilled out. No one will take them, but I do the best I can. It's like the show itself. I give you raisins instead of candy, and you don't want the raisins. What can I tell you? Anyway, it's a semen song, which I love very much because it's got a gallows sense of humor. The semen had such horrible short lives, as a great writer by the name of Thomas Hobbes wrote, a great old white male. He wrote, "Life is poor, nasty, brutish, and short." And it certainly applied to the white males in the Navy at that time. And these kind of ditties came out of the Irish and English seafaring days. And a local singer by the name of Skip Henderson sings it. I haven't seen him but once. There's something eerie about it. That's why I like it. It's really beautiful. "Of rum and gold and wenches bold, you had your last fill, Billy Bones. You've done in many the bones, sent them off to sleep in the bagel, looks like." What would you like to talk about? I have a question for you on the Savage Nation this Halloween evening. Do you agree with my strategy to talk about blocking amnesty rather than talking about Obamacare? Let's get down to brass tacks. Or you just want to go out and party. I was in San Francisco today, and already they're wearing costumes 11 o'clock in the morning and drinking in the streets. Nobody works but me, I ask myself. 11 a.m., the restaurants were already filling up. They were drinking in the morning. Guys were drinking champagne at bars. I couldn't believe it. And I walked around saying, doesn't anybody work? I don't understand this. How does this country go on? And then every street is broken up down around my studio from Broadway in the North Beach Chinatown area. I guess they're repaving the streets. But here's what I saw. The San Francisco Public Works Department, right? They were digging a hole. There were two men digging ditches. There were two men standing over the ditch supervising them, working for the city. There was a man in a car, a city car, watching them dig and watching the men who were watching them dig. And then there was a man in some kind of machine that was not doing anything, but he was allegedly going to move something around with the machine. So to dig a ditch, there were five men and two pieces of equipment. That's San Francisco, the most corrupt city in the history of America. It makes New Orleans look like Snow White's fairy tale. And you wonder why I do radio. 855-407-282, Savage Nation. Topic. Look, I told you, I'm the only one in media who's doing anti-amnesty. The only one in the media. The rest of you are playing catch-up. I told you that it's the law of the land. I told you Obamacare is a train wreck. I told you actually it was a shipwreck, not a train wreck. I actually gave you a better metaphor. I said the ship has fallen apart as it's come down the slipway. But you have to understand what that means. It's falling apart, so what do you have to spend your days and nights talking about Obamacare for? It's falling apart. The people know it. Meanwhile, Obama's working on his next radical leftist plank, which is amnesty for illegals. So I spent the whole show on it last night. Mike on WABC, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mike, I think I heard you wrong. Yes, it sounded like you were wavering a little bit when you said illegals that were working here. We should give them some sort of pathway to citizenship.
Well, I guess you only heard what you wanted to hear. You don't actually believe you can deport all the people here, do you?
Well, I believe that you can, the ones that are working here, they're working here illegally. They're taking jobs of Americans.
Wait. You mean you would take their job, cleaning slop and being a busboy or working in a factory? You're looking for that job?
Mike, I'm a carpenter. Just like the wall banger, he turned on his people. the people who are, you know, not union carpenters, just regular hardworking men.
Wait, what do you mean he turned on his people? What did he do?
Tradesmen, people that...
You're leaving me in the dust. Wallbanger turned on what?
Wallbanger, when he came to amnesty, he lost his whole audience.
What did he do? I don't understand. What did he do? He said he was in favor of amnesty?
Of course he did. That's why...
When did Wallbanger say that?
Right after the election of Obama, he said...
Wait, you never heard Michael Savage say he was in favor of amnesty. That is not... In fact, what I'm going to do to set the record straight is I am going to play a piece of what I said last night, a summary of it. But you know and I know very well that you're never going to see these people deported. You know that. I mean, let's be realistic, right?
I'm not asking you to deport them. All I said is if you use E-Verify, the people who are working in good construction jobs, I don't care about people picking tomatoes. I'm talking about good carpentry jobs. Those are jobs.
Right. Well, why is the union hiring illegal aliens? Why is the union not being attacked by the union workers?
You know what? I don't know. They check me for cards. They say, hey, now let me see your union card. I'm not a union carpenter.
Well, what are you?
When I'm working on a site, I get checked for that stuff.
I don't understand. You said you're a carpenter, but you're not a union carpenter. Is that it?
No, I'm self-employed.
Okay, how much do you make an hour?
I make about $200 to $300 a day.
For an 8-hour day?
Some days it's 10.
So you make $30 an hour?
Roughly.
Okay, how much do the illegals get paid?
8 to 10.
Now you know why your unions want the illegals working. But now you understand why your Catholic Church wants amnesty for illegal aliens. Your argument is with your unions and your church, not with Michael Savage.
Well, you just said that if they're working here, they could sign a piece of paper and stay. Then you know every single one of them, that piece of paper, it's not worth it. You know what I'm saying? Their signature on the paper, every one of them will be working. You know what I'm saying? If that's all they need to do,
You're making a good point. But I didn't think that you took me literally saying everyone who's here illegally should stay here. That's not what I said.
Well, you said the ones that are working and haven't committed a crime, if they sign a piece of paper, will allow certain people to stay if they don't go on welfare for 5 years. And then
that's exactly what I said. That's right. I'll stick to my words. See, let me be clear. I have been in factories. Who's in the factories? Who's working the production lines?
Well, what the factories that are still here, there's a lot of Americans. And the few remaining jobs...
Well, I don't think you're right, my friend. In the factories I've seen in the South, it's almost 100% illegal alien from Mexico, El Salvador, Guatemala. They're the ones on those factory lines. You got to understand something, Mike. I've worked in factories. Nobody wants those jobs except people who have to take them. You wouldn't take that job, would you?
Yes, my friend does CNC operation. That's a computer-controlled cutting machine. It's not a dirty, greasy job. It's a technical job.
Mm-hmm.
Blue collar, but it's technical. You have to have some sort of education. You have to know.
So let's see. What would your solution be to the illegal alien problem? Tell me what your solution would be.
My solution would be E-Verify, and that's a form of self-deportation. Cut off the benefits. And enforce the job?
Well, no, but I certainly would cut off the benefits. You heard me say that last night, didn't you?
I did hear that, but you also said you would let them stay. They would all find a way around the law. You know, Chuck.
I didn't say they would all stay, did I? I said if they have a job, a legitimate job, is how I started it. I didn't say their family should stay, did I? I also said you have to cut them off all of the social benefits. That would mean the whole family would go home.
Well, that's impractical, like you're saying. Like, you can't take...
Well, I don't know that it's impractical. Why? Who says an illegal alien is entitled to welfare and unemployment insurance and free housing and free medical and free legal? I certainly am against that. They're killing us.
Who says they're entitled to work here and take an American's job?
That's another story. There are jobs that Americans will not take. And no matter what the right wing has said, no matter what the rhetoric may sound like and make you feel good, there are millions and millions of horrible, dirty jobs that Americans will not take. Now, having said that, if you crack down on welfare for Americans, they'd be forced to take those jobs, wouldn't they?
They would, and a lot of them.
Yeah, so many of the bums sitting in doorways now, sucking on beer, enjoying their life every day because they don't work, and I've seen them all over every city I've ever been in. They sit around, they do nothing. I see bums, I don't know what to tell you, I feel like. They lay around all day long on cardboard in downtown San Francisco. They don't contribute anything. They're leeches. They're parasites. How are they living? How are they living? They're getting checks. Those are the people who in the past would have picked the grapes, picked the lettuces, cleaned the toilets, and worked in factories. You know that and I know that.
What about the other percentage that's not working in fields? The field workers can come here, pick the oranges, and go home. I'm talking about...
Well, there was such a program in the 1950s. There was such a program. But I look, my point was a little different than the one you're trying to put me into. You're trying to put me into a corner, but you're not going to succeed because you're wrong. And here is my point. There's not going to be 100% deportation of illegal aliens. It's not going to happen. I don't care what you think. It's not going to happen. It's impractical. It can't happen. Do you envision that actually happening?
I'm not saying to go round them up and deport them. They will leave on their own like they did in Alabama.
Who will leave on their own?
The illegal aliens.
If you do what?
If they can't find work and they can't get welfare, they will leave.
Well, I wonder. There's a big underground economy out there, Mike. There's a huge underground economy.
I understand that, but if you crack down on the underground economy, some of the welfare suckers, they need to go...
You're giving me theoretical solutions that are excellent in theory, but I'm a pragmatist, and I am talking about stopping Obama's push for amnesty, and the only way to do that is have a rational discussion with the radical left, the socialists, and I think that's what I was trying to initiate last night. Let me ask you the other question. Do you agree with my strategy to talk about blocking amnesty rather than yakking about Obamacare? Let's start at the top.
Absolutely. That's the most vital thing in this country is stopping.
How do you feel about the talk show hosts who are rambling on about Obamacare when it's already law? Do you find it at all interesting?
I think it's like Nero playing with his iPhone as Rome is burning.
Well, you're an intelligent man, I can tell, and you're very frustrated and you're angry. You're near your boiling point, I can tell that as well. All right, I invite you to listen carefully, and everything you said that I said is true, but I think you needed to see the entire context, which I will play for you, by the way. Naomi, WABC. Oh, my God, I'm running late. I'll take Naomi on WABC in New York. Naomi, fire away. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for taking my call, and it's such a pleasure to finally talk to you. I've been listening to you for years, and you have
Thank you.
Huge, in spite of what you may think, you have a huge African-American following. I just love your truth. I love your books. I'm so frustrated with our country. I'm so frustrated with the politics, the phony Republican Party, the misrepresentation, the chronological lies of the Democratic Party. It's just a mess. And you're so refreshing to listen to.
Every host wants to hear that, but you called to say thank you for focusing on amnesty. Tell me why you think that topic is so important. Would you please?
It's essential because what it's doing, and it's not just a black, issue or African Americans are displaced. It's an American issue, but who's going to feel the impact more? It's the working poor, and it's the underclass.
Yes, that's right. If they grant amnesty to the 30 to 50 million illegals and all their relatives, the people who will be killed by it will be the poorest of the poor, whether they be white or African American or Hispanic themselves. They will be killed by this. How can anyone support this? How can any rational individual support this when we are already bankrupt, is what I've been asking. For hours I was asking it last night, and apparently it fell on deaf ears. It did not appear on one website. Nobody quoted me. All they do is quote their friends who talk about Obamacare day and night on every website. It's the cabal again. The cabal, from the internet to the talk radio world, they only talk about what the others are talking about. And we have to block Obama's desire to force amnesty down our throat the way Pelosi did Obamacare with our big hammer. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
These are the voices that Obama loves. Death to the redneck and go back to England. These are the voices that the Democrat Party loves. Death to the redneck, go back to England. These are the voices that Napolitano loves, who gave $5 million to illegal immigrants in the University of California, pledged to aid students living in U.S. illegally. The criminal California University President Janet Napolitano, who wrecked the Department of Homeland Security and was rewarded for wrecking DHS by being given the presidency of the University of California, a great system that I graduated from, said Wednesday she's devoting $5 million to give special counseling and financial aid for illegal aliens in the United States. This is what she's doing with your money. The woman is a roving criminal. A roving criminal. In any rational nation, she'd be arrested for what she's doing. By the way, every poll on illegal immigration across the board, whether it's amongst whites or even amongst Hispanics, oppose amnesty for illegal aliens. You may not know this. Most Hispanics who are citizens oppose it. Do you know this? Do you know that most African Americans oppose it? Did you know that? And yet the magic president would have you believe you're the only one opposing it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
ASFO. Now, I've given you all the reasons yesterday why I oppose illegal amnesty for illegal aliens. Make it simple for yourself. Fiscal, fiscal, fiscal. Can't afford them. It's a net loss of trillions of dollars. Trillions of dollars. You cannot grant amnesty to 30 million people and expect the nation to thrive. It will die. It's that simple. The lifeboat is full. We will all drown. However, if you take the hardline position of deport them all, which is stupid, it'll never happen, number one. But let me put it in context for you, because I'm a rational thinker. I'm a pragmatist. If you say, okay, all illegals should be deported, or you modify that position and say, no, they should be self-deported, meaning cut off their benefits and they'll go home, that's the equivalent of Palestinians saying, kick all the Jews into the Mediterranean, or send the Jews back to Europe. Or that's the equivalent of the hardcore Zionists who are saying, kick all the Palestinians into the sea and kick them all out of Judea and Samaria. They don't belong in the West Bank. So you know those hardline positions don't work. They sound good, maybe they feel good, maybe they make you feel tough for a moment. But in reality, is it going to ever happen? So you can say it all you want. It's not a solution. Mere rhetoric is never a solution. Now, I can give you mere rhetoric, or I can give you what I think is a rational solution. And my rational solution is, first of all, take amnesty off the table. That's number one. Let's start with that. Number two, deport all of the criminal illegal aliens in our prisons. There is no reason we should be spending $54,000 a year to house and feed people with ethnic foods in our prisons. It's outrageous. But that's never going to happen, because you've got the prison guards union and you've got the private prison operators who are huge lobbyists in this country who love these large prison populations. So, you know, you're talking about major league problems. Now you understand why it's very hard to get anything done in a democracy. Now you understand why most people who think it through actually are praying for dictatorships. Now you understand why the liberals love Obama, is because he is a dictator. Only they're egging him on to be even a larger dictator, an even meaner, more evil man. You know in Europe what they're calling him? A soft totalitarian. Tell that to Woody Allen. Tell that to Robert De Niro. Tell that to all of the left-wing phonies in the media. The Europeans, who were once in love with this phony, are calling him a soft totalitarian, and what woke them up was the spying. They know where that goes, where it comes from, where it ends. They know it. They lived through it. They lived through Nazism, and they lived through the Stasi regime in the Eastern European days. They know that Obama has very bad instincts with regard to freedom. They don't even understand how alien he is to the word freedom. But they do know something. He is a soft totalitarian right now. But that could turn hard very fast. Now this soft totalitarian Obama, who foisted Obamacare on us, lying about it from top to bottom with Nancy Pelosi, pushing it down people's throats, buying votes, Now they're trying to do the next thing. There's no limit to these people's mania. I don't think you've ever seen anything like this. This is the equivalent. I'm going to have to turn it around for you to understand what Obama is and what he's doing. Let us say that a stealth right-wing individual became president. A very, very charming white guy. I don't know, some very attractive guy that everyone thought was charming. And he hid his past. No one knew where he was born. No one knew who his father was. And it came out later on that his father maybe worked for Hitler. But somehow he became president. He was put in by the right wing. Very charming, and he's very, very smooth. And he has a nice wife and nice children. And every day you wake up and there's another super phenomenal right-wing plank that's been forced down the throats of Congress. And then you find out that this right-winger is spying on all the world's leaders. And then after jamming one right-wing plan down our throats after another, he comes up with yet another. And then he sends his Robespierre to the Middle East. His Robespierre, if you know your history, his Robespierre is Axelrod. Do you know where Robespierre is right now? Do you know where Axelrod is right now? They're not happy enough with ruining the greatest healthcare system the world has ever seen, despite all of its corruptions and flaws. Now they want to flood America with tens of millions of illegals, primarily from Mexico, by the way, turning us into an appendage of that socialist hellhole called Mexico. Now that he thinks he's got the votes for that with Nancy Pelosi, he sent Robespierre Axelrod to the Middle East as I talk, and Robespierre is trying to force the Israelis to give up large portions of Jerusalem to create a Palestinian state. There is no end to the mania of this gang. This is not a benign gang that's just happy to pillage the economy. They don't just want to pillage for their cronies. They have a fanatical, left-wing, universalist agenda and they're relentless in their imposition of this agenda. I try to warn you. I try to do it every day. But I'm telling you again, over and over again, the final linchpin of our destruction will be amnesty for illegal aliens. I told you Obamacare is like a ship that was built so poorly it fell apart as it came down the slipways. You don't have to be in the nautical world to know what I just said. There are excellent boat builders, there are average boat builders, and then there are shoddy boat builders who build boats, they don't even know how to build them. And they rob everybody. They build the hulls out of garbage. So as the ship slides down the slipway, it starts to break apart before it even hits the water. Before it even floats, it's taking on water. That's Obamacare. That's why I don't want to waste my time talking about it. So while that ship is sinking, this gang of incompetent thieves is now ready to launch another ship called Amnesty for Illegal Aliens. And they say they got the Republican votes for it, Teddy. Teddy, I tell you, I don't know how in the world the people are this dumb. Other than I walk around the streets of San Francisco before my show in wonderment. There are armies of bums. There are armies of crack addicts, whores, heroin addicts, typhus cases running around these streets, laying like filthy bums on cardboard in the sidewalk in the heart of the downtown tourist district, the untouchables. If you look at them the wrong way, the police will arrest you for looking at them the wrong way. They have more rights than you do. You, the taxpayer, you have no rights. They have rights. It's a society in collapse. It's a society that is upside down. The barbarians are through the gates. Use any metaphor you want. As bad as it is, we still have a wonderful country. Gorgeous country. The sky was blue. This time of year in San Francisco, the bay turns a certain color that I love. I call it China blue, that I wrote about in Abuse of Power when Jack walks around. And sometimes my character, Jack, he'd walk up the hills of San Francisco and turn around, look at the bay, and his breath would be taken from him, as mine is. And he's stunned by the view, the views. He's stunned by the China blue in October. The water is China blue, still calm like a mirror. It's something to behold. The restaurants are full. The economy is booming in San Francisco. High rises are going up south of Market. It's an economy in overdrive. And in the midst of it, we have pockets of crime, pockets of corruption, pockets of drastic, unbelievable degeneracy of the likes the world has never seen. Caligula would blanch at what goes on in San Francisco. that passes for family values under Nancy Pelosi. Caligula himself would faint if he knew what was going on in this city, in Nancy Pelosi's backyard, and she calls it family values. Well, anyway, that's the world we live in. You know, it's the best of times, it's the worst of times. You can still go into Subway. I mean, I wish they were a sponsor. They should be. I don't know why my salespeople don't sell them, but in the midst of all of this, you can still go into Subway for $5 to get a foot-long sandwich. I never saw anything like it. How do they make a buck in there? I have a power lunch. You'd think, oh, I'm a talk show host and a best-selling author, and I have power lunches. I do. I go into like a Subway sandwich shop and get a foot-long and take it to my apartment. I cut it in half and have half for lunch and half for dinner. That way I can avoid bad Italian restaurants in North Beach, which I don't go to anymore. Hey, Micah, how are you? I don't need it. I don't need, hey, Micah, how are you? I'd rather buy a sandwich for $6 and have a soda. I don't need the charm. I don't need the charm. I don't need a free drink. I'm not a backstepper who wears an Aloha shirt. That's a local joke. Somebody will get it. A backstepper who wears an Aloha shirt. Taking a free meal for the last 30 years. What's he going to do when it's all over? He's going to have to pay for a bowl of spaghetti. He'll die on the spot. That's another local joke. Only the in crowd would understand that one. There's a certain backstepper with an Aloha shirt. What do you want to talk about in the Savage Nation? I don't know. You want to do immigration? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do immigration. And in order for you to understand my position, the one I took last night where I'm being attacked now by people who don't quite understand pragmatism, they understand only emotionalism, I think it's important for me to take a quick break, come back, and then play that piece which summarizes my position, and then I'll take your calls. How's that? Can we do that? Now, before we do that, here are some points against amnesty. Let's start with the fiscal disaster. We can't afford it. How about the crime disaster of illegal aliens? We all know that there are wonderful, hardworking people. We see them everywhere. But we don't see the criminals, do we? 25 to 30% of all prisoners are illegal aliens. They didn't come here and break, didn't run a traffic light. They either killed somebody, ran somebody over drunk, ran drugs, raped a little girl. 25 to 30% of illegal aliens, of our prison population, are illegal aliens. 83% of warrants for murder in Phoenix, illegal aliens. 86% of warrants for murder in Albuquerque, illegal aliens. 75% of those on the most wanted list in L.A., Phoenix, Albuquerque, illegal aliens. 25% of all inmates in California detention centers, Mexican nationals. 40% of all inmates in Arizona detention centers are Mexican nationals. 48% of all inmates in New Mexico detention centers, Mexican nationals. 29% convicted illegal alien felons fill our state and federal prisons at a cost of $1.6 billion annually. 53% plus of all investigated burglaries reported California, New Mexico, Nevada, Arizona, Texas, illegal aliens. 50% plus of all gang members in L.A. are illegal aliens. 71% plus of all apprehended cars stolen in 05 in Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, and California were stolen by illegal aliens or transport coyotes. 47% of cited stop drivers in California have no license. Did you hear that? 47% of cited or stop drivers in California have no license, no insurance, and no registration. 63% of cited stop drivers in Arizona have no license, no insurance, no registration. I can go on. 380,000 plus anchor babies were born in the U.S. to illegal alien parents in just 1 year, making 380,000 babies automatically U.S. citizens. I'll go on if you'd like. You see, Canada, which you think is a socialist nation, which it is, has a rational immigration policy. Do you know who instituted it? And do you know why? China was sending over pregnant women in their ninth month of pregnancy to drop the baby on the airplane, meaning give birth on the airplane or dumping it when they landed in Vancouver, so the baby would become a Canadian citizen and have all the benefits and education, whatever. It was a Canadian of Chinese descent who saw this and got angry. He passed a law eliminating anchor babies in Canada, our socialist neighbor to the north. Even they stopped it. And we're so stupid as to buy the argument from Joe Biden that we're not compassionate unless we grant amnesty to anchor babies? I vehemently disagree, Mr. Biden, and I shall return.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
general points against amnesty, and I've made them last night. I don't have the time right now to play what I said last night, but I'll play it at the top of the next hour. I hope you'll stay with me and then call to criticize me or agree with me or, you know, agree with me in part or disagree with me in part. It's not an all or nothing game. It's not a zero-sum game. When you say deport them all, you are the equivalent of Obama saying grant amnesty to them all. Neither will happen. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. Neither of those choices is going to happen. It may feel good to say it. I'm telling you it won't happen. He's not getting amnesty for all, and you're not getting deportation for all. It's just not going to happen. There has to be some rational plan. A plan. I think my plan will work. You already, many of you, are fanatically angry at me for even suggesting it, and I know why. When you see a Pentagon training manual that says white males have unfair advantages, a 600-plus page manual used by the military to train its so-called equal opportunity officers teaches this, that healthy white heterosexual Christian men hold an unfair advantage over other races and warns a great deal detail about a so-called white male club. This is inside your military. This is what Obama is doing to your country. The manual goes on. It says, quote, simply put, a healthy white heterosexual Christian male receives many unearned advantages of social privilege, whereas a black homosexual atheist female in poor health receives many unearned disadvantages of social privilege. Close quote. Reads a statement in the manual created by the Defense Equal Opportunity Management Institute. Do you understand we're living in Alice in Wonderland under Obama, where everything is a lie, everything is corrupt, and everything is backwards? Do you understand that? They're arguing that a black homosexual atheist female in poor health should have superior advantages to a healthy white heterosexual Christian male in the army. Do you understand what insanity is? Do you get it? I hope you get it by now. Because if you don't get it, it's going to get worse. Bill O'Reilly goes on the air and says, give the guy a break. Fox News host Bill O'Reilly, who I affectionately call the leprechaun, told PJ Media that the American public should give Obama a break, adding that, quote, nitpicking the president does not do the country any good. He said, President Obama's got 3 years left in office. I think he's going to try to make Obamacare work. That's his legacy. He's under tremendous pressure, said O'Reilly. Every day with some new crazy thing in the world. And I don't think people nitpicking the president do the country any good. I mean, I disagree with him on some issues. But let's see if he can pull Obamacare thing out of the fire. That's really important right now, said O'Reilly. Now, you understand why O'Reilly is saying this. You understand that. And you understand he also has a big audience. How do you explain that? How do you explain that O'Reilly has a large audience? He began as a conservative poseur, a conservative manqué, we would call it in the industry, or some would call it a poseur, a conservative poseur. He moved to the center, now he's moving to the left. He's always wanted a job on one of the networks, and now he's saying, give the guy a break. Give Mugabe a break. Give Mugabe a break. Even though Mugabe is seizing land, even Mugabe is taking farms from the white farmers, I guess there would have been a host at the time who said, give Mugabe a break, he's got a lot on his mind. Speaking of Mugabe, the dictator, if you remember him, Zimbabwe President Robert Mugabe, New York City mayoral hopeful Bill de Blasio, a radical leftist of the worst order, honored the despot Mugabe. It came out in today's Washington Times. If you live in New York, do you know what I'm talking about? 36 of 51 New York City council members shunned a 2002 event honoring Zimbabwean dictator Robert Mugabe, but not Democrat Bill de Blasio. The New York Post reported the Democrat Party's candidate for New York City mayor attended the event at City Hall, even though it was known that Mr. Mugabe had been starving his nation, jailing political dissidents, pushing anti-gay rhetoric and policies, and grabbing land from white farmers. At the time of the ceremony, Mr. de Blasio was serving his first term as a city council member. Do you know what in New York's about to have happened to it? Remember Dinkins? Does anyone... Well, don't have a call. Of course, we all remember Dinkins. Think garbage in the streets. Think strikes. Think crime. Think a destroyed city. The Dinkins years. Then came Giuliani. And then Bloomberg became crazy in his last 2 years. He was a decent mayor for a long while. Then he rigged it up with the third term and he became a lunatic leftist thinking he'd be president. I don't know what he was thinking. He was a rational businessman. He was a good mayor. Straightened the city out. Then he became a nut with the soda and the fat and the cigarettes. A loony. Maybe listened to his daughter too much. I don't know who gets in their heads. It's like John McCain must be listening to the daughter and the wife. They must be yakking at him. That he's too white, heterosexual, Christian male. I don't know what it is with what happened to McCain. But the same with all of them. Their daughters or their wives get to them. They sound crazy. They don't even know how crazy they sound. But de Blasio, my friends, will make Dinkins look like a conservative. By the time de Blasio gets through in New York City, in my estimation, he will make the Dinkins years look like years run by a fiscal conservative. One man's opinion. I have no right to say that. After all, I'm not from New York, am I? I'm not.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
All of us need to stop focusing on the lobbyists and the bloggers and the talking heads on radio. And the professional activists who profit from conflict, and focus on what the majority of Americans sent us here to do.
We see people coming across the border to
you get
look
the
for
picture.
Work.
I love Obama says we should stop listening to the professional activists who thrive on conflict. How do you get where he is? Oh, I love it. I love it. So there's a lot of news out there. I mean, it's all over the world. The Israeli war planes strike shipment of Russian missiles at a Syrian port. Medicare paid millions to dead patients, illegal aliens, probe fines. The Pentagon put out a manual saying white, Christian, heterosexual males have unfair advantages. It's beyond belief what's going on under this soft totalitarianism of Obama. And I am talking about what he's about to do, not what he has already done. If you want to look at the past, you can't stop what's coming down the pike, so to speak. The crisis that will hit America if he passes amnesty will be it's an incurable price to pay. Incurable. It's the end of cancer. It's the final cancer for America. So many of you are saying no, deport all illegals, self-deport all illegals. Actually, I came up with the idea of self-deportation 3 books ago, and it was picked up and run with. You'll see that I was the one who came up with it. But that's the equivalent as I've got. You see, let me pull back. It's emotionally satisfying to say that they should self-deport, that if you cut off their jobs and benefits, they'll go home. It feels good to say that. But I am now Jonah inside the whale. I've been swallowed by the whale. I'm looking at the world from inside the great white whale. You're looking at it from the rowboat or from the whaling ship. It's two different perspectives. I've been swallowed by the whale, if you read Melville. You have to read Melville to understand this, and I don't want to sound pseudo-intellectual, nor do I want to sound pseudo-nor-intellectual. I'm just telling you that I have a different perspective than you do because I'm inside the whale. And what I'm saying to you comes from a very pragmatic point of view. You're not deporting all the illegals, nor is Obama getting amnesty for all the illegals. There must be a pragmatic solution to this problem. And before I play what I put forward last night, for which I'm being attacked, and you listen to it again. If you didn't hear it, you listen the first time, and then you'll call and tell me what you think of it. Saying that all illegals should be deported is the equivalent of Palestinians saying kick all the Jews out of Israel, kick them all into the Mediterranean, send all the Jews back to Europe, or on the other side is the equivalent of the fanatical religious Zionists saying kick the Palestinians out of Judea and Samaria. They don't belong there. They don't belong there at all. Kick them out. Is that ever going to happen? Do you think that the Palestinians will ever kick out all the Jews? No. Do you think that the Jews will ever kick out the Palestinians? No. There's got to be a solution there as well. It's inevitable. At a certain point, by the way, I'm sorry to tell you, demographics are destiny. And that is why Bill Clinton broke the border with Mexico. He knew this. He knew this. He knew demographically he could destroy the country with breaking the border. And I know who he used as his INS chief. One of the most venal rats in the history of American government. I won't mention her name. I don't want to tell you what I wish upon her every time I think about her name, what she did to this country. Her name begins with a D and a last initial is M. I saw what she was doing. She broke the border with Mexico. And the plan was, from the position of the Council on Foreign Relations, is flood America with as many third worlders as you can in order to create such a mishmash and such a scrambled egg that the elitists could do anything they wanted with this tough nut called America. They still haven't broken the nut yet. They're very close. They had their demagogue. They got him in power. They slipped him through the cracks. He's wrecking everything he touches. He's Obama the destroyer. But now if we let him get away with the amnesty deal, it's the end of America forever. It'll be over. I'm just telling you. There's no way we can survive this. It's impossible. Now, to say, okay, deport them all is crazy. It's not going to happen. So I came up with what I think is a reasonable discussion. So please listen to it and then call Michael Savage at 855-407-282. Let's play it. The entire conservative movement, God bless them all, is focused on stopping something that has become law, that has been tested by the Supreme Court. And at the same time that they're working on that, Obama's working on passing amnesty. So I'm going to focus only on why I oppose amnesty for illegal aliens. Either you're going to play chess and maybe win a few games, or you're going to continue to play checkers and lose every game in town. I oppose amnesty for illegal aliens for the following reasons. First of all, let me set the stage. I am an immigrant son. Does that give me any special rights to talk about immigration? No. But I am an American. And all we've heard are the voices of non-citizens screaming from every rooftop with their friends in the Catholic Church, with their friends at Google, with their friends at Facebook, with their friends at NBC, with their friends in the White House, with their friends everywhere but in the streets of America where the American people live. We pay the taxes. And I will tell you why I, an immigrant son, oppose amnesty for illegals. One, it will drain federal funds. Who is going to pay for the... First of all, who's going to pay for Obamacare? So let's start with what you're focused on. We know it's an unaffordable, broken system to begin with. So the very same people who cannot put up a website are now going to flood America with illegal aliens and tell us that they know whether they're criminals or not. It will reward lawbreakers. It will punish immigrants who play by the rules. American workers will lose their jobs to immigrants, especially entry-level workers. It will increase crime. 33% of all prisoners in America are here illegally. And they're not in prison for being here illegally. They're here in prison because they committed major league felonies over and over again. Robberies, rapes, homicides, drug deals. One-third of all prisoners are illegal aliens. Will Obama then say, you know what, we granted amnesty to these 11 million, 50 million illegal aliens, but, you know, they're separated from their fathers and brothers and their uncles and their nephews who are in prison. So we're now going to open up the Bastille and let everyone out of the prisons. Is that what you want? It will change our national identity. It will make us more vulnerable to terrorists. It will create a permanent Democratic majority. We don't know the background of these people. It will break the health care system, which is already broken. It will break the justice system. It will break the hospital system. Shall I go on? Would you like to hear some more of my arguments against amnesty for illegal aliens? Because, again, I have to repeat, the conservatives in the media, and God bless them all, we need every last one of the voices, are playing checkers or backgammon, while Obama and his minions are playing electronic chess and moving ahead now to pass another monstrous law that will never, ever be overturned unless we stop it before it's passed. And that means we have to oppose amnesty by attacking Republicans and attacking Democrats who are being lobbied around the clock by illegal aliens and their other cohorts. We need security first. We need to fix the unemployment problem. 47% of Americans are paying no income taxes. Do we need to add to their ranks? In the last several months, millions of undocumented aliens have come pouring over the border from Mexico knowing that they will be given instant citizenship. Does that make them good citizens? We tried this once before. It didn't work then. It will not work now. We've tried this during the Reagan administration. When Reagan passed immigration reform, and he allowed roughly 2.7 million illegal aliens to become citizens. And we were told that in exchange we would have security measures and it would never happen again. Well, it happened again. New immigrants are naturally aligned with liberals. 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 So it's more votes for Democrats. Why are Republicans in favor of it? There will be greater income inequality. There will be more bilingualism. There will be more cultural balkanization. There will be more ethnic unrest. There will be more crime. There will be more Mexican and other foreign government intervention in our internal affairs. More poor people will lead to progressively bigger government financed by progressively higher taxes, causing progressively slower growth in productivity. What does that mean? If you put these 11 to 50 million illegal aliens on a path to citizenship, as Obama wants, that means that within a few years they will qualify for the full panoply of government programs, more than 80 means-tested welfare programs, as well as Social Security, Medicare, and Obamacare. How are we going to pay for this? The lifetime fiscal cost, that is, the benefits received minus taxes paid, for the average illegal alien in this country after amnesty will be around $590,000, according to the Heritage Foundation. Amnesty is a terrible, terrible idea. It will be a disaster for America. And again, I want to reiterate, while my good friends in the media, especially in the radio media, are focused on Obamacare, I must remind all of them that Obamacare is the law. It was tested by the Supreme Court and passed. What are you fighting about it when it's already law? And Obama knows he won on that, so he's moving on to his next big socialist plank, which is illegal alien amnesty. If you can stop him there, you can stop him everywhere. If you can't stop him here, then you can't stop him anywhere. And I say we oppose amnesty for illegals. I know many of you are confused because you're decent people and you say, well, it's a nation of immigrants. Yeah, well, we're not a nation of illegal immigrants. That's number one. Or you will say, well, give everyone a chance. Who's going to pay for it? You? Haven't you seen what Obamacare is already doing? Now what, you want to give over your health care system to non-citizens? How's that going to work out when you go to a hospital? Is the line going to be shorter or longer, all you good liberals? Think about it before you open up. Before you open up your howitzers on me. When you go to a hospital for care a year from now, would the line be longer or shorter if you granted amnesty to 50 million illegal aliens? Do you oppose or approve amnesty for illegal aliens?
Savage.
Well, that was part of what I said last night, not all of it, and I'm being criticized for the rest of it, but I won't go into it right now. I'm not ashamed of what I said because I'm a rationalist and a pragmatist. But I want to read you a poll on illegal immigration amongst Hispanics, Latinos. I use the word Hispanic. I don't like the word Latino. Latino has almost no meaning. It's a political phrase. Hispanic is the more correct designation of individuals of Hispanic heritage. According to polls amongst Hispanic voters, 60% of registered Hispanic voters support amnesty to undocumented immigrants. Listen, only if illegals are reduced by 90%. Did you hear that? This is amongst registered Hispanic voters. They say, okay, we'll grant amnesty to undocumented only if illegal immigration is reduced by 90%. 56% of registered Hispanic voters oppose allowing illegal aliens to obtain federal benefits until the 90% goal is reached. Hispanic voters ranked immigration reform last among a list of four priority issues behind one, the economy, two, health care, and three, education. 60% of Hispanic voters support tougher enforcement. 64% of Hispanic voters support the use of E-Verify. So even amongst Hispanic voters, this is a loser for the Democrat Party. Yet Obama is pushing it, radically pushing it. Why? Why is he pushing it? Why is the soft totalitarian Barack Hussein Obama pushing amnesty at a time like this when his Obamacare is such a disaster? Why is he doing it? You don't understand the mind, not of the progressive, but of the international socialist. You have no idea what you're dealing with here. You have to go back to my great books, because I don't think there's going to be another one like it. I have one in the works and one or two novels, and that's all that's left in me. But if you go back to Trickle Up Poverty, I have a great chapter on the immigration disaster where he erased our borders with Mexico, and I describe exactly how it happened and what he was doing and why he wanted to do it and basically who he's in cahoots with. I saw this coming. I saw this coming. It's a scam of the worst kind. It's a nightmare, that, and he must be stopped. By the way, I don't think that they have the votes. Pelosi says she has the votes, but I believe her as much as I believe, let us say, John McCain on anything. So I don't think they have the votes. I think they're just pandering to the illegal alien lobbyists, you know. But they're going to push it. And again, before I take a quick break here, and we come back out of this break, we're going to have only 2 minutes, and then I have a great guest at 34, Mark Kerkorian, who is the most knowledgeable person I know of in the immigration world, and he's going to give you some facts and figures, and we'll take your calls. So tonight it's more like a regular radio show than my normal free-form, what do I call it? I forget the word. What do I call my show? I'm very famous for it. Free-form or something like that? Oh, free association. I'm famous in the radio business for my free association radio shows, which most of you love. But at a time like this, I can't free associate. I have to give you the facts, ma'am, just the facts. I'll be right back to do so.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So you see all of the, you know, there's a cartoon up in the Washington Times I have to tell you about. It shows kids coming around for candy on Halloween, and they're dressed in costume, and a man comes out of the door, and he says to them, I'm going to take half the candy that you have from you and give it to the kids who were too lazy to go out and collect candy. And one of the kids says, oh, crap, a Democrat. It's a very clever little cartoon. I just got a call from home that my pail of Halloween raisins, my raisin bait, has been taken. It's cleaned out. They cleaned out the raisin bait from my pail. They threw the pail upside down. That's what kids are. They dug around like dogs. They went for the last box of raisins and then threw the pail on the floor. I was like the kind of guy in the neighborhood I didn't like who would make me eat raisins, let them eat raisins. It's good for you. I hated guys like me. I wanted the bad stuff, the candy corn, horrible poison. Candy corn, good and plenty. You know what the schools are like tomorrow? Have you ever seen chimpanzees on a Monday? Have you ever seen the monkey cage on a Monday in a zoo when they're all hungover, laying around listless? Hypoglycemia. It was well known when I wrote my nutrition books. I used that metaphor. People would throw them candy in the stupid days of America. And then on Monday, when the zoo opened up after the weekend, the animals were listless. They couldn't move. They were in low blood sugar attacks. Well, that's what hypoglycemia is. Tomorrow, could you imagine the schools? So this is a boon holiday for the pediatrician. The pediatricians will be filled over the next few days prescribing Adderall to put the kids on speed and get them on their road to becoming drug addicts. Yes, indeed, what a wonderful country. It's good to live in interesting times, and it's good to be rational, understand what's going on. And that's why I'm here every night. Otherwise, what's the point? What is the point? I could be in Lake Tahoe enjoying the snow and having a drink. What would be wrong with that? Did you see it snowed up in Lake Tahoe already? Unbelievable. Winter Wonderland. I can't wait to go. Maybe I'll go this weekend. I love snow on my face.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. It's Halloween evening. Yahoo. Yahahoo. And I'm talking about amnesty for illegal aliens and why we must focus on it, why we must block it, because Obama's working it. You're still focused on yesterday's battle. He's on tomorrow's battle. And joining us right now is a man who's been fighting this battle for as long as I've been in radio, Mark Kerkorian, Executive Director for Center for Immigration Studies. Mark, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I'm glad to be here.
Mark, do you oppose amnesty or do you support it?
No, I'm against it, certainly. I mean, I'm not against it under any circumstances ever at any point in the future for anybody. But right now, under no circumstances should we be doing amnesty, because this administration has made clear that it has no intention of enforcing the new rules, if we have any more than it's enforcing the current ones. And so, you know, we are guaranteed to have another 11 million illegal aliens a few years down the road if we do this. So right now, it's not even, it seems to me it's not even a legitimate topic for discussion.
Mark, you know the government makes things up and they're always lying. So they say 11 million. My estimate is it's got to be three times larger than that. You know this field better than I do. What would you say the actual number of illegals is of those living here in the shadows?
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think it's that much. It could be 11. I mean, it could be 12, could be 13. It's almost...
Yeah, but if the government says Obamacare will cost $800 billion and it costs $3 trillion or whatever, we know they always either underestimate costs or overestimate values.
Sure, I mean, but, you know, this we've come up with some of the same estimates independently from other sources. And
all right, fine. So you would take the number of 11 to 12.
Yeah.
But if they granted amnesty to the 12, wouldn't that mean automatically they'd start bringing their families in illegally, figuring they'll get them under the curtain as well?
Yeah, I mean, in fact, not even illegally necessarily, because the Schumer-Rubio amnesty bill that the Senate passed actually would allow people who aren't even here to come in and get legal status. In other words, relatives of people.
Oh, my God. Rubio did that? Rubio was that crazy to write such a thing?
Well, he didn't write it. He had no idea what was in the bill. He just sort of, you know, was the pitch man for it. That's all.
Now, look, Mark, in the big picture, what the Democrats wanted for the demographic bombshell and the votes, the Republicans in a broad sweep wanted for the workers, right, the cheap workers. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, I mean, the Republicans, it's not so much that, you know, guys like Rubio and McCain are the ones benefiting from the cheap workers. It's that they are responding to corporate interests that want the cheap workers. Yeah, absolutely.
What's Obama said, Pelosi said she has the votes. That's not true, is it?
Well, you know, it's possible. I mean, that's why, because look, if something like the Schumer-Rubio bill, the Senate bill, were brought to the House floor today, all the Democrats would vote for it, probably without a single exception, and all they...
Mark, are you saying even with the debacle of Obamacare, with Democrats running away from it as fast as they can, they would try to push this down the throats of their constituency without fear?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I say that without any hesitation, yes.
You mean the Democrats are that I have another word. I won't use demonic. They're that lockstep with Obama? There's not any variance in the whole party?
No. 5-6 years ago, last time this was debated, you know, back under Bush, there actually were some Democrats who said, look, you know, this isn't good for blue-collar workers. We really need to think about this. Those people have been purged or just moved on. So, no. There is absolutely no dissent anywhere at the top level, not regular voters, but in Congress, there's not a single Democrat who will vote against amnesty and doubling immigration.
Party line voting, very much like the old Communist Party in the Soviet Union, frightening.
Well,
whatever happened to the Blue Dog Democrats? Where did they go?
Well, most of them lost to Republicans. I mean, you know, in the House, the reason they've been, getting wiped out is that the Republicans have been beating them. And, you know, there's a few other people who have just retired and moved on. And the labor unions have basically flipped on this. And so if you're a Republican, I mean, if you're a Democrat and you're concerned about blue-collar workers, but the labor movement is telling you, you know, we don't care, this is what we're for, you know, you've got to basically buck the labor movement and say, no, I'm for blue-collar workers, even though the AFL-CIO isn't. That's a hard position for a Democratic politician to take.
Why is the AFL-CIO against union workers like this? What do they gain by this?
They gain dues-paying members. That's a big part of it. And they understand and have been quite open about understanding that huge influxes of less skilled workers changes the political context of the United States, so that by moving everything to the left, they figure they're going to be able to benefit in the long run. Anyway, Barney Frank actually said just that to a reporter. He said, well, sure, you know, immigration's bad for blue-collar workers, but it will move the politics of the country to the left, and then we can pass laws that will help the blue-collar workers that were hurt by him.
Oh, my God. So why would a billionaire like Mark Zuckerface be so vehemently in support of amnesty for illegals? Is it that he wants cheaper workers, Zuckerface?
Well, Zuckerman and all of those other guys, I mean, Google has signed on to this, Bill Gates, you name it. I mean, all the Silicon Valley types and the tech people. The reason is not that they care about amnesty. Now, some of them personally might, because a lot of those guys are pretty left-wing or libertarian, which, frankly, in immigration is the same thing. But they've been made to understand very clearly that the only way they get their cheap tech workers is if they pony up a lot of money to get the less skilled workers amnesty, too. So it's a kind of...
Oh, well, you're saying guys like Zuckerface have been told by the Obamaites, let me see if I follow you, that if they work for importing millions of very low-wage workers, the farm laborers, etc., they will get the B-1B visas they want to cut their costs, is that it?
Right, exactly. In other words, it would all have to be one big package, and they don't get what they want unless the Hispanic caucus and others get what they want in the same package.
It's that venal. It is that venal of Zuckerface. I'm shocked.
Oh.
This is very, very, this is alarming, Mark, because we see the debacle of Obamacare. How can a government that can't even put up a website tell us they're going to enforce an amnesty plan? It makes no sense. How many Republicans do you think, other than the obvious quislings like McCain and Lindsey Graham, do you think Boehner will go along with this?
At this point, no, I don't think he will, but not because he doesn't believe in it, but rather because he's sort of put his finger in the wind and gets that this is not something that's politically going to pass with Republicans. Now, I don't mean to say that Boehner is really pro-amnesty either. He just he doesn't care that much. The question is, for him, how does he manage this? How does he satisfy donors? How does he keep his Republican caucus in line? That kind of thing. And so I think earlier, a few months ago, he actually was, I think, very much willing to make an amnesty go through. At this point, I think he's probably been scared off, but the goal of immigration critics is to keep him scared off of doing this so he doesn't.
Well, I personally believe if Republicans go along with the Democrats, it's the total end of the Republican Party. It's the most suicidal thing they could possibly do. If they don't stand with the American worker, and even Hispanics don't want amnesty for illegals without border security, without cutting back immigration by about 90%, why are the politicians so brazen in their disregard of the voter sentiments? Why?
Gigantic bags of money. I mean, that's what it boils down to. That's part of it. That's half of it. The other half is that our elites, our political and business and other elites, really have moved beyond concern about the interests of the American people. They've become, I don't mean they're anti-American, but they're post-American, a lot of them. And so they consider, a narrow concern for the well-being of people, frankly, in flyover land that they consider hicks and yahoos, just to be something that's not appropriate. And, everybody they know is for amnesty. It's the, it's the kind of the right thing to do. So when you combine that with the gigantic bags of money from lobbyists, that's a pretty, that's a strong thing to push them in that direction.
Okay, we're speaking with Mark Krikorian, Executive Director of Center for Immigration Studies, and I've watched your work for 20 years now. You must be very depressed, because I've seen you from the heyday of thinking we had hope to stop this to today. You almost sound as though you think it's going to happen.
Well, no, I don't think it's going to happen, certainly not this year. But, some of it's personality, you know what I mean? In other words, I'm kind of laid back.
What do you mean? You've mellowed with age, Mark?
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to kind of be mellow to get into this, because otherwise you'd kill yourself. I mean, you'd die of a stroke or heart attack.
I agree. Absolutely. You have to have some distance from it, because it's like looking at cancer every day as an oncologist. If you identify with every cancer patient, you'll be dead.
Yeah, I got kids, I got a garden, I have a compost pile, I got other stuff to do, in addition to work. So you can't let it get to you. But I'm also not super pessimistic. I actually think first of all, in the short term, we are going to be able to stop this. This is not going to pass this year, certainly, and then I think next year is pretty much out. And in
let's pause for a minute. Next November is extremely telling. It's the midterm elections. There is talk that the Republicans could sweep the Senate. They're not going to bungle it, are they, by pushing amnesty? And don't the Democrats understand that they'll lose the House and the Senate if they pass amnesty? They will get thrown out of office. They will.
Oh.
You know that, and I know that. Even the average Joe does. I don't care. The average liberal Democrat does not want amnesty, Mark. Not by everything I've read.
No, well, I actually think if amnesty passed, I think in the short term, even in 2014, it would be the Republicans paying the cost, because it would be their voters who would be saying, even more of them than already have done so, saying, you know, there's really, why am I voting for these people? I'm just going to stay home. I mean, the Republicans would get wiped out, I think, if they ended up voting for this amnesty. And
boy, somebody has to talk to them real fast, because they may not even understand what the people themselves think. You know, Mark, everyone's focused on Obamacare and talk radio. I'm focusing on amnesty because that's where Obama's going. He's already got Obamacare. It's the law of the land. It's falling apart in its own volition. I think we need to fight this battle every day to put an end to it before it becomes law. Do you agree with me? I mean, this is my approach. I think I'm going to do this right through the end of the year. It's all I'm going to do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I agree that this is the key issue. In fact, I think the Obama people made a mistake in 2009 and 2010 in pushing Obamacare instead of amnesty, because they had basically, the choice was, which of these two things are we going to do? If they had pushed amnesty in the first 2 years, they could have gotten it, because they had, you know, veto. I mean, they had overwhelming majorities in both houses of Congress. They could have done anything they wanted, and once they got the amnesty, then they would have changed the political, correlation of forces, so that then they could have gotten all kinds of other things, gun control, Obamacare, and everything else. They actually made a mistake that, as bad as it looks now, kind of saved us in going for Obamacare instead of immigration back when
That's interesting. That's fascinating. You're quite a strategist. I guess you're a good chess player. Well, Mark, look, you know more about this than I do. I've been at it for 20 years, but not in the way you have, because this is all you do other than working with compost. You look at the compost pile in Washington, D.C. Mark Krikorian, how can my listeners, and I mean it as a plug, how can they help your Center for Immigration Studies?
Well, we're online at cis.org, cis.org, and, if people are interested, there's a donate button, but all of our information is there, and the main thing is you need to get educated on this, and you need to tell your elected representatives, and I mean, like, call them up on the phone, call the office, and tell them what you think. Politely, they keep track of that kind of thing. They actually pay attention to constituents who call, or even more, two or three constituents who get together and go visit one of their local offices. Not many people do that. If you get 10 people visiting your office in a week saying this amnesty thing is a bad idea, don't do it, that makes a huge difference, and you got to get educated by going to, among other places, our site first, cis.org.
Cis.org. I agree with you, and I hope that you continue to do your work. And now that Halloween is over, I hear that there's one box of raisins left in my plastic pumpkin from the kids who didn't pick it up. Can I send you a box of raisins after Halloween, Mark? It's sealed in plastic.
Sure, why not? I'd love to.
All right, Mark Krikorian, Executive Director of Center for Immigration Studies, CIS.org. Thank you so much for being with us this late on The Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Funny, you know, I send my emails in all caps. I have for years, so people take offense at it. They think I'm shouting at them. So after many a year, I finally put a little note on the bottom of my emails, which say, pardon my caps, but vision is king, on the bottom, because I like to write in all caps. To me, and they think that I'm insulting them when I write in caps, I do it for two reasons. My vision is less affected, and I can write more quickly if I set the all caps button. So, you know, the small-minded people say things like, it shows that you're not smart. I pay no attention to it. It's what people did in the early days of the Internet. You know why I do it in all caps? Because emails to me are still like telegrams in the old days when a telegram would come, you know, stop, that kind of thing. So someone just wrote to me and she said, without vision, the people shall perish. Thank God your talk is king. And then she said, it's true, you think in all caps. I do. My show, my verbal show is like a show, a verbal all cap show. And one of my producers just said to me, you know, for the first 3 months I worked for you, I thought you were yelling at me. He said, it took me 3 months to understand you speak in all caps. I said, it works with my dog. He understands all caps. It makes it very easy for me to get my point across. I speak in all caps, not like I'm mad at you. I think it's a cultural thing. I really do. I don't know whether it's impolite to speak in all caps. Mediterranean people speak in all caps. I'm not Mediterranean, but they do. I hear they do. No, like if you go to an Italian restaurant, the old days, the guys would use their hands. They were speaking in all caps. You know, like, you don't like my spaghetti, I bust your head. Speaking in all caps. Oh, boy. If I say, you know, if whatever I say is in all caps, and I'm glad you're listening. That's all. I have so many signs on my computer during a show now, notes to myself. And I'm waiting for January 1st, like the clock is ticking down. I'm there already. I'm in the seat. The actual first show is January 2nd, by the way, because January 1st radio stations sometimes still playing Christmas and their ball games and people are drunk. We're going to have a best of January 1, by the way. I don't know why I'm talking about it. I am. Of some of the greatest shows that I've ever done. January 2nd, that's the day you want to set aside for the Savage opening. It's going to be exactly like tonight or another night or any other night. It's going to be whatever is in the news, views and reviews, what I've seen on the movies, what I ate, whether I have a headache. And I will keep going along, and that's the end of it. I will speak to you in all caps. That I promise. So I think that thus far we've done good work tonight. We've talked about amnesty for illegals. Let's go to WDRC in Hartford, Connecticut. Dave, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thank you, Doctor, for taking my call. It's an honor to talk to you. You're right, and that guy Mark is wrong about the number of illegal aliens, like only 11 million. When I was out in Arizona in 1980, my sister taught on an Indian reservation in Schindler, Arizona, and we were stopped by the police when we were driving along the highway at night. And I said, hey, Tina, what's all this about? And she says, oh, they're checking for illegal aliens. And I said, well, you should just let them all in and everything. She goes, no. You don't understand. They'll overwhelm the whole system over here. And back then, since 1980, it was 1.5 million that were coming over the border then. So his numbers don't compute with my numbers.
No, when a government says 11 million, that's a made-up number. I always triple anything the government does when they're trying to underestimate something. And then divide by 3 when they're trying to overestimate something. If he says that Obamacare will cost $100, I know it'll really cost $300. If he says there's 11 million illegals, there's 33 million.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, you made it to hour number 3 of The Savage Nation for Halloween, Thursday, October 31st. Ooh, on michaelsavage.com, I have a picture of what I have on my front door. No, I don't. I have a pail of raisins, boxes of raisins, unopened. The kids probably wouldn't take them. You know how kids are. They only want garbage and junk food so the pediatrician can keep giving them toothbrushes and Adderall. But I put a pail filled with boxes of great raisins. Nevertheless, I'm a diehard. And on the top of michaelsavage.com, you'll see an article. Actually, it's a soundbite entitled, Why I Oppose Amnesty. I'm the only one in the media who's focused on it because the administration is going to push it down our throat while we're focused on Obamacare. And I've asked tonight, do you agree with my strategy about talking about blocking amnesty rather than talking about Obamacare? That's the main question tonight. Underneath that picture on michaelsavage.com is a picture that's very telling of little, cute Chinese kids with machine guns. What? Well, not real machine guns. They're in military uniforms and toy machine guns in China. And my headline is, while we ban sodas, China trains kids with machine guns. Take a guess how this ends. Socialist Party pushes euthanasia for kids. I'm not making it up. Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween. Savage tops digital radio rankings again, beating everybody. Hospital employee in Obama costume stirs controversy. He won third prize for the straitjacket outfit, and now everyone in the hospital has to go through diversity training. What a country. What a stupid country we're living in. By the way, Savage moving to Drive Time coming January 1st. Mark it on your calendars. You're not going to want to miss it. And you'll see why Wallbang has been pushed into the Siberia of television. Also on MichaelSavage.com, another former Obama official pleads the Fifth Amendment. Really? Like a mafia. They don't look like mafia. Their names don't end in O and syllables. They don't have track suits and gold chains. They're very studious looking, but they're basically mafia, in case you don't know it. Well, you don't understand what I'm saying. You don't get how this works. You thought that when fascism came to America, it would be marching behind a German song and they'd be wearing swastikas. Little did you know. Professor 73 charged in sex assault on a child. Oh, God. At his age? He's still Randy? Was it now or wait a minute? WCSU prof charged with criminal sexual act. Oh, God. New York State Police reported Paul Hines, a chemistry professor at Western Connecticut State University, and I was charged with money with third-degree child. We're concerned, said... Hines has been a coordinator at Dorothy Day Shelter in Spring Street in Danbury since 1982. Oh, I get it, a volunteer. New York police said Hines communicated online with a 15-year-old. They met at the teen's summer's home where he engaged in sexual contact. They did not identify the teen's gender. Yeah, look out for do-gooders, okay? Yeah, look out for do-gooders. See what's inside the chicken pot pie recipe. That's all I can tell you. In other words, you don't know what the stuffing is until you open up the bird, okay? Do you agree with my strategy to talk about blocking amnesty rather than talking about Obamacare? Let's get down to brass tacks. Or you just want to go out and party. I was in San Francisco today, and they're wearing costumes 11 o'clock in the morning and drinking in the streets. Nobody works but me, I ask myself. 11 a.m., the restaurants were already filling up. They were drinking in the morning. Guys were drinking champagne at bars. I couldn't believe it. And I walked around saying, doesn't anybody work? I don't understand this. How does this country go on? And then every street is broken up down around my studio from Broadway in the North Beach Chinatown area. I guess they're repaving the streets. But here's what I saw. The San Francisco Public Works Department, right? They were digging a hole. There were two men digging ditches. There were two men standing over the ditch supervising them, working for the city. There was a man in a car, a city car, watching them dig and watching the men who were watching them dig. And then there was a man in some kind of machine that was not doing anything, but he was allegedly going to move something around with the machine. So to dig a ditch, there were five men and two pieces of equipment. That's San Francisco, the most corrupt city in the history of America. It makes New Orleans look like Snow White's fairy tale. And you wonder why I do radio. 855-407-2822, Savage Nation. Topic. Look, I'm the only one in media who's doing anti-amnesty. The only one in the media. The rest of you are playing catch-up. I told you that it's the law of the land. I told you Obamacare is a train wreck. I told you actually it was a shipwreck, not a train wreck. I actually gave you a better metaphor. I said the ship has fallen apart as it's come down the slipway. But you have to understand what that means. It's falling apart, so what do you have to spend your days and nights talking about Obamacare for? It's falling apart. The people know it. Meanwhile, Obama's working on his next radical leftist plank, which is amnesty for illegals. So I spent the whole show on it last night. All of the other folks in talk radio, God bless them all, are fighting a lost battle right now. They're arguing against Obamacare, which is a theoretical argument because it's the law of the land. It even cleared the Supreme Court. So what are they screaming about? Obamacare is the law. It will collapse on its own volition as it is already doing. But Obama's not happy with just breaking our medical system. He now wants to break our social system and our borders forever by passing amnesty for illegal aliens. And he has some very powerful allies with him. He has the huge corporations who want cheap labor. He has the Catholic Church who want the pews filled up with parishioners. He has people like Zuckerberg, who God knows what he's sticking his foolish nose into this issue for, other than cheap labor. There's no other reason for it. Why is Silicon Valley screaming for amnesty for illegals so they can get cheaper workers? What do you think? It's not enough for them. They own a 400-foot yacht. They need an 800-foot yacht. They can't pay an American worker $75 an hour as a programmer. They need to get someone for $30 an hour from Taiwan. Is that what they want? I'm the only one in the media talking about amnesty for illegal aliens, and I oppose it. And I've given you the reasons why. The criminal California University President Janet Napolitano, who wrecked the Department of Homeland Security and was rewarded for wrecking DHS by being given the presidency of the University of California, a great system that I graduated from, said Wednesday she's devoting $5 million to give special counseling and financial aid for illegal aliens in the United States. This is what she's doing with your money. The woman is a roving criminal. How can anyone support this? How can any rational individual support this when we already are bankrupt, is what I've been asking. For hours I was asking it last night, and apparently it fell on deaf ears. It did not appear on one website. Nobody quoted me. All they do is quote their friends who talk about Obamacare day and night on every website. It's the cabal again. The cabal, the cabal, the cabal. From the internet to the talk radio world, they only talk about what the others are talking about. And we have to block Obama's desire to force amnesty down our throat the way Pelosi did Obamacare with our big hammer. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I've given you all the reasons yesterday why I oppose illegal amnesty for illegal aliens. Make it simple for yourself. Fiscal, fiscal, fiscal. Can't afford them. It's a net loss of trillions of dollars. Trillions of dollars. You cannot grant amnesty to 30 million people and expect the nation to thrive. It will die. It's that simple. The lifeboat is full. We will all drown. However, if you take the hardline position of deport them all, which is stupid, it'll never happen, number one. But let me put it in context for you, because I'm a rational thinker. I'm a pragmatist. If you say, okay, all illegals should be deported, or you modify that position, say, no, they should be self-deported, meaning cut off their benefits and they'll go home, that's the equivalent of Palestinians saying, kick all the Jews into the Mediterranean, or send the Jews back to Europe. Or that's the equivalent of the hardcore Zionists who are saying, kick all the Palestinians into the sea and kick them all out of Judea and Samaria. They don't belong in the West Bank. So you know those hardline positions don't work. They sound good. Maybe they feel good. Maybe they make you feel tough for a moment. But in reality, is it going to ever happen? So you can say it all you want. It's not a solution. Mere rhetoric is never a solution. Now, I can give you mere rhetoric, or I can give you what I think is a rational solution. And my rational solution is, first of all, take amnesty off the table. That's number one. Let's start with that. Number two, deport all of the criminal illegal aliens in our prisons. There is no reason we should be spending $54,000 a year to house and feed people with ethnic foods in our prisons. It's outrageous. But that's never going to happen, because you've got the prison guards union and you've got the private prison operators who are huge lobbyists in this country who love these large prison populations. So, you know, you're talking about major league problems. Now you understand why it's very hard to get anything done in a democracy. Now you understand why most people who think it through actually are praying for dictatorships. Now you understand why the liberals love Obama, is because he is a dictator. Only they're egging him on to be even a larger dictator, an even meaner, more evil man. You know in Europe what they're calling him? A soft totalitarian. Tell that to Woody Allen. Tell that to Robert De Niro. Tell that to all of the left-wing phonies in the media. The Europeans who were once in love with this phony are calling him a soft totalitarian, and what woke them up was the spying. They know where that goes, where it comes from, where it ends. They know it. They lived through it. They lived through Nazism, and they lived through the Stasi regime in the Eastern European days. They know that Obama has very bad instincts with regard to freedom. They don't even understand how alien he is to the word freedom. But they do know something. He is a soft totalitarian right now. But that could turn hard very fast. Now this soft totalitarian Obama, who foisted Obamacare on us, lying about it from top to bottom with Nancy Pelosi, pushing it down people's throats, buying votes. Now they're trying to do the next thing. There's no limit to these people's mania. I don't think you've ever seen anything like this. This is the equivalent. I'm going to have to turn it around for you to understand what Obama is and what he's doing. Let us say that a stealth right-wing individual became president. A very, very charming white guy. I don't know, some very attractive guy that everyone thought was charming. And he hid his past. No one knew where he was born. No one knew who his father was. And it came out later on that his father maybe worked for Hitler. But somehow he became president. He was put in by the right wing. Very charming, and he's very, very smooth, and he has a nice wife and nice children. And every day you wake up and there's another super phenomenal right-wing plank that's been forced down the throats of Congress. And then you find out that this right-winger is spying on all the world's leaders. And then after jamming one right-wing plan down our throats after another, he comes up with yet another. And then he sends his Robespierre to the Middle East. His Robespierre, if you know your history, his Robespierre is Axelrod. Do you know where Robespierre is right now? Do you know where Axelrod is right now? They're not happy enough with ruining the greatest healthcare system the world has ever seen, despite all of its corruptions and flaws. Now they want to flood America with tens of millions of illegals, primarily from Mexico, by the way, turning us into an appendage of that socialist hellhole called Mexico. Now that he thinks he's got the votes for that with Nancy Pelosi, he sent Robespierre Axelrod to the Middle East as I talk, and Robespierre is trying to force the Israelis to give up large portions of Jerusalem to create a Palestinian state. There is no end to the mania of this gang. This is not a benign gang that's just happy to pillage the economy. They don't just want to pillage for their cronies. They have a fanatical, left-wing, universalist agenda, and they're relentless in their imposition of this agenda. I try to warn you. I try to do it every day. But I'm telling you again, over and over again, the final linchpin of our destruction will be amnesty for illegal aliens. I told you Obamacare is like a ship that was built so poorly it fell apart as it came down the slipways. You don't have to be in the nautical world to know what I just said. There are excellent boat builders, there are average boat builders, and then there are shoddy boat builders who build boats, they don't even know how to build them. And they rob everybody. They build the hulls out of garbage. So as the ship slides down the slipway, it starts to break apart before it even hits the water. Before it even floats, it's taking on water. That's Obamacare. That's why I don't want to waste my time talking about it. So while that ship is sinking, this gang of incompetent thieves is now ready to launch another ship called Amnesty for Illegal Aliens. And they say they got the Republican votes for it, Teddy. Teddy, I tell you, I don't know how in the world the people are this dumb. Other than I walk around the streets of San Francisco before my show in wonderment. There are armies of bums. There are armies of crack addicts, whores, heroin addicts, typhus cases running around these streets, laying like filthy bums on cardboard in the sidewalk in the heart of the downtown tourist district, the untouchables. If you look at them the wrong way, the police will arrest you for looking at them the wrong way. They have more rights than you do. You, the taxpayer, you have no rights. They have rights. It's a society in collapse. It's a society that is upside down. The barbarians are through the gates. Use any metaphor you want. As bad as it is, we still have a wonderful country. Gorgeous country. The sky was blue. This time of year in San Francisco, the bay turns a certain color that I love. I call it China blue, that I wrote about in Abuse of Power when Jack walks around. And sometimes my character, Jack, he'd walk up the hills of San Francisco and turn around, look at the bay, and his breath would be taken from him, as mine is. And he's stunned by the views. He's stunned by the China blue in October. The water is China blue, still calm like a mirror. It's something to behold. The restaurants are full. The economy is booming in San Francisco. High rises are going up south of Market. It's an economy in overdrive. And in the midst of it, we have pockets of crime, pockets of corruption, pockets of drastic unbelievable degeneracy of the likes the world has never seen. Caligula would blanch at what goes on in San Francisco that passes for family values under Nancy Pelosi. Caligula himself would faint if he knew what was going on in this city, in Nancy Pelosi's backyard, and she calls it family values. Well, anyway, that's the world we live in. You know, it's the best of times, it's the worst of times. You can still go into Subway. I mean, I wish they were a sponsor. They should be. I don't know why my salespeople don't sell them, but in the midst of all of this, you can still go into Subway for $5 and get a foot-long sandwich. I never saw anything like it. How do they make a buck in there? I have a power lunch. You'd think, oh, I'm a talk show host and a best-selling author, and I have power lunches. I do. I go into like a Subway sandwich shop and get a foot-long, take it to my apartment. I cut it in half and have half for lunch and half for dinner. That way I can avoid bad Italian restaurants in North Beach, which I don't go to anymore. Hey, Micah, how are you? I don't need it. I don't need, hey, Micah, how are you? I'd rather buy a sandwich for $6 and have a soda. I don't need the charm. I don't need the charm. I don't need a free drink. I'm not a backstepper who wears an Aloha shirt. That's a local joke. Somebody will get it.
Savage.
Everyone's talking about health care except me. I'm talking about illegal immigration. But there's some other things going on out of Washington that you should pay attention to. Congress just had a hearing about stand your ground laws that many states have. You know what that is. Remember Zimmerman? Joining us now on the Savage Nation is Ilya Shapiro from the Cato Institute, who was asked to testify in front of Congress about, well, stand your ground laws. Ilya Shapiro, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Good to be on.
What's this about?
Dick Durbin, the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee on the Constitution, Civil Rights, and Human Rights, decided to have this hearing on stand your ground laws, and it turned out to be a bit of kabuki theater. I was on a panel with Trayvon Martin's mother and the mom of another teenager who was killed, along with a couple of other legal experts and statisticians, discussing the right to armed self-defense. It was kind of an awkward situation in that, of course, you feel for the mourning parents, and you offer condolences, but those particular cases actually had nothing to do with standing one's ground or self-defense. These issues get bandied about and unfortunately politicized and unfortunately taken through a racial lens. But stand your ground laws really should be uncontroversial, and they've been part of American law for over 150 years.
Well, not all states have them. What are stand your ground laws?
At present, about 31 states, depending on how you count, have this. What it is, in normal common law as it developed, people have the right to self-defense. If someone is attacking you, you can defend yourself. From that arose something called the Castle Doctrine. If you're attacked or there are intruders in your home, your home is your castle, you don't have to retreat. In some jurisdictions, in some states, in some localities, there was a further expansion of the Castle Doctrine to any public place where you're allowed to be. If someone comes up to you and starts shoving you or escalating some sort of force, you can respond to defend yourself. The opposite, if you don't have stand your ground laws, is that you have a duty to retreat. If you can safely run away, if you can leave the area where you're being threatened or intimidated, you first have that duty. If you don't, then you can still defend yourself. But as I said, historically, going back over 150 years, about half of the United States has had a stand your ground, this expansion of the Castle Doctrine. Essentially, the entire country has had the Castle Doctrine in your home. But outside the home, now we're up to about 31 states, which is the historical norm. And in the last 10 years or so, another 15 states have joined that, a majority of whom had Democratic governors who signed these laws protecting the right to armed self-defense, including, amusingly enough, Kathleen Sebelius in Kansas, who's now the health secretary, including Joe Manchin, senator in West Virginia, Jennifer Granholm, Janet Napolitano, a lot of these leading progressives. So this really should not be a political or a partisan issue. It's just made out to be that way after the Trayvon Martin killing.
Well, why is this law an issue?
Well, even though Stand Your Ground was not implicated in the prosecution of George Zimmerman, Zimmerman did not raise that as a defense. The growth of these laws, some people, unfortunately, politicians and demagogues of various stripes, have tacked onto these laws in part because they were promoted by the American Legislative Exchange Council, which is a group of legislators. It's a member organization kind of on the center right, the counterpart to another group called the National Council of State Legislators, which is more on the left. And they promote all sorts of regulatory reform, economic reform, and for a time they included certain types of civil rights laws, including the Stand Your Ground law. Now, Florida's law, which was what was thought to be but actually wasn't at issue in Trayvon Martin, was passed before ALEC, before this organization got involved. But legislators belonging to this group devised some model legislation that was then passed in other states. And Dick Durbin, especially, the senator who convened this hearing, has sort of been running a campaign of intimidation against ALEC. This summer he sent out letters to organizations that he found out somehow, he won't release what source this is, that had either sponsored ALEC initiatives or been involved in some ways. My own organization, the Cato Institute, now we don't make donations, but you know, we've sent scholars to ALEC events and to consult and so forth. And Durbin's letter asked, what is your position on Stand Your Ground? Do you still agree with ALEC? These sorts of things, pretty thinly veiled attempts to stop people from getting involved in this organization, which for the most part, from my perspective, from a libertarian center-right perspective, I think foments a lot of good public policy change.
So how is this playing out? What do you expect is going to happen? They're going to eliminate the Stand Your Ground law?
Well, one of the ironies and one of the reasons why I say that this hearing and this national politicization is kabuki theater is because Congress plays no part in this debate. There is not a federal Stand Your Ground law or a federal duty to retreat. States regulate local criminal laws, and it's a state by state decision whether to expand, reduce, introduce, repeal these different types of self-defense laws. You go back to even in Illinois, which passed its latest expansion of its longstanding Stand Your Ground before the Florida law. Then State Senator Barack Obama co-sponsored the law that eventually passed unanimously in the Senate. So these debates are happening in the states. There's a task force in Florida that's now investigating whether theirs needs to be tweaked and how it's written or how judges interpret it. But really, I don't think there's a role for Congress here, and I do think that it's mostly been a vehicle for national politicians and others to grandstand for other reasons.
Where can my listeners read more?
Sure. Well, this op-ed is in the National Review online. It went online on Tuesday, but that and my congressional testimony and a lot of other things that I write on other subjects is available at Cato's website. That's cato.org. You can look me up as one of the experts or read about my colleagues' work. I just published the Cato Supreme Court Review, the annual journal that we publish about the biggest Supreme Court cases. That's available on Amazon.com or on Cato's website as well.
Wow. Ilya Shapiro, thanks again for being with us on The Savage Nation.
My pleasure. Take care.
What would you like to talk about? I have a question for you on The Savage Nation this Halloween evening. Do you agree with my strategy to talk about blocking amnesty rather than talking about Obamacare? Let's get down to brass tacks. Or you just want to go out and party? I'll take Naomi on WABC in New York. Naomi, fire away. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for taking my call, and it's such a pleasure to finally talk to you. I've been listening to you for years, and you have
Thank you.
Huge, in spite of what you may think, you have a huge African-American following. I just love your truth. I love your books. I'm so frustrated with our country. I'm so frustrated with the politics, the phony Republican Party, the misrepresentation, the chronological lies of the Democratic Party. It's just a mess. And you're so refreshing to listen to. I'm so...
Well, you know, every host wants to hear that, but you called to say thank you for focusing on amnesty. Tell me why you think that topic is so important. Would you please?
It's essential because what it's doing, and it's not just a black you know, issue, or African Americans are displaced. It's an American issue, but who's going to feel the impact more? It's the working poor, and it's the underclass.
Yes, that's right. If they grant amnesty to the 30 to 50 million illegals and all their relatives, the people who will be killed by it will be the poorest of the poor, whether they be white or African American or Hispanic themselves. They will be killed by this. How can anyone support this? How can any rational individual support this when we already are, when we are already bankrupt, is what I've been asking. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Here are some points against amnesty. Let's start with the fiscal disaster. We can't afford it. How about the crime disaster of illegal aliens? We all know that there are wonderful, hardworking people. We see them everywhere. But we don't see the criminals, do we? 25 to 30% of all prisoners are illegal aliens. They didn't come here, they didn't run a traffic light. He ran somebody over drunk, ran drugs, raped a little girl. 25 to 30% of our prison population are illegal aliens. 83% of warrants for murder in Phoenix, illegal aliens. 86% of warrants for murder in Albuquerque, illegal aliens. 75% of those on the most wanted list in L.A., Phoenix, Albuquerque, illegal aliens. 25% of all inmates in California detention centers, Mexican nationals. 40% of all inmates in Arizona detention centers are Mexican nationals. 48% of all inmates in New Mexico detention centers, Mexican nationals. 29% convicted illegal alien felons fill our state and federal prisons at a cost of $1.6 billion annually. 53% plus of all investigated burglaries reported California, New Mexico, Nevada, Arizona, Texas, illegal aliens. 50% plus of all gang members in L.A. are illegal aliens. 71% plus of all apprehended cars stolen in 05 in Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, and California was stolen by illegal aliens or transport coyotes. 47% of cited stop drivers in California have no license. Did you hear that? 47% of cited or stop drivers in California have no license, no insurance, and no registration. 63% of cited stop drivers in Arizona have no license, no insurance, no registration. I can go on. 380,000 plus anchor babies were born in the U.S. to illegal alien parents in just 1 year, making 380,000 babies automatically U.S. citizens. I'll go on if you'd like. You see, Canada, which you think is a socialist nation, which it is, has a rational immigration policy. Do you know who instituted it? And do you know why? China was sending over pregnant women in their ninth month of pregnancy to drop the baby on the airplane, meaning give birth on the airplane or dumping it when they landed in Vancouver, so the baby would become a Canadian citizen and they have all the benefits and education, whatever. It was a Canadian of Chinese descent who saw this and got angry. He passed a law eliminating anchor babies in Canada, our socialist neighbor to the north. Even they stopped it. And we're so stupid as to buy the argument from Joe Biden that we're not compassionate unless we grant amnesty to anchor babies? I vehemently disagree, Mr. Biden. It's not an all or nothing game. It's not a zero-sum game. When you say deport them all, you are the equivalent of Obama saying grant amnesty to them all. Neither will happen. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. Neither of those choices is going to happen. It may feel good to say it. I'm telling you, it won't happen. He's not getting amnesty for all, and you're not getting deportation for all. It's just not going to happen. There has to be some rational plan, a plan. So there's a lot of news out there. I mean, it's all over the world. The Israeli warplanes strike shipment of Russian missiles at a Syrian port. Medicare paid millions to dead patients, illegal aliens, probe finds. The Pentagon put out a manual saying white, Christian, heterosexual males have unfair advantages. It's beyond belief what's going on under this soft totalitarianism of Obama. And I am talking about what he's about to do, not what he has already done. If you want to look at the past, you can't stop what's coming down the pike, so to speak. The crisis that will hit America if he passes amnesty will be, it's an incurable price to pay. Incurable, incurable, it's the end of cancer. It's the final cancer for America. So many of you are saying, no, deport all illegals, self-deport all illegals. Actually, I came up with the idea of self-deportation 3 books ago, and it was picked up and run with. You'll see that I was the one who came up with it. But that's the equivalent as I've got. You see, let me pull back. it's emotionally satisfying to say that they should self-deport, that if you cut off their jobs and benefits, they'll go home. It feels good to say that. But I am now Jonah inside the whale. I've been swallowed by the whale. I'm looking at the world from inside the great white whale. You're looking at it from the rowboat or from the whaling ship. It's two different perspectives. I've been swallowed by the whale, if you read Melville. You have to read Melville to understand this, and I don't want to sound pseudo-intellectual, nor do I want to sound pseudo nor intellectual. I'm just telling you that I have a different perspective than you do because I'm inside the whale. And what I'm saying to you comes from a very pragmatic point of view. You're not deporting all the illegals, nor is Obama getting amnesty for all the illegals. There must be a pragmatic solution to this problem. Saying that all illegals should be deported is the equivalent of Palestinians saying, kick all the Jews out of Israel. Kick them all into the Mediterranean. Send all the Jews back to Europe. Or on the other side, is the equivalent of the fanatical religious Zionists saying, kick the Palestinians out of Judea and Samaria. They don't belong there. They don't belong there at all. Kick them out. Is that ever going to happen? Do you think that the Palestinians will ever kick out all the Jews? No. Do you think that the Jews will ever kick out the Palestinians? No. There's got to be a solution there as well. It's inevitable. At a certain point, by the way, I'm sorry to tell you, demographics are destiny. And that is why Bill Clinton broke the border with Mexico. He knew this. He knew this. He knew demographically he could destroy the country with breaking the border. And I know who he used as his INS chief, one of the most venal rats in the history of American government. I won't mention her name. I don't want to tell you what I wish upon her every time I think about her name, what she did to this country. Her name begins with a D and a last initial is M. I saw what she was doing. She broke the border with Mexico. And the plan was, from the position of the Council on Foreign Relations, is flood America with as many third worlders as you can in order to create such a mishmash and such a scrambled egg that the elitists could do anything they wanted with this tough nut called America. They still haven't broken the nut yet. They're very close. They had their demagogue. They got him in power. They slipped him through the cracks. He's wrecking everything he touches. He's Obama the destroyer. But now if we let him get away with the amnesty deal, it's the end of America forever. It'll be over. I'm just telling you. There's no way we can survive this. It's impossible. Now, to say, okay, deport them all is crazy. It's not going to happen. So I came up with what I think is a reasonable discussion. I want to read you a poll on illegal immigration amongst Hispanics, Latinos. I use the word Hispanic. I don't like the word Latino. Latino has almost no meaning. It's a political phrase. Hispanic is the more correct designation of individuals of Hispanic heritage. According to polls amongst Hispanic voters, 60% of registered Hispanic voters support amnesty to undocumented immigrants. Listen, only if illegals are reduced by 90%. Did you hear that? This is amongst registered Hispanic voters. They say, okay, we'll grant amnesty to undocumented only if illegal immigration is reduced by 90%. 56% of registered Hispanic voters oppose allowing illegal aliens to obtain federal benefits until the 90% goal is reached. Hispanic voters ranked immigration reform last among a list of four priority issues behind one, the economy, two, health care, and three, education. 60% of Hispanic voters support tougher enforcement. 64% of Hispanic voters support the use of E-Verify. So even amongst Hispanic voters, this is a loser for the Democrat Party. Yet Obama is pushing it, radically pushing it. Why? Why is he pushing it? Why is the soft totalitarian Barack Hussein Obama pushing amnesty at a time like this when his Obamacare is such a disaster? Why is he doing it? You don't understand the mind, not of the progressive, but of the international socialist. You have no idea what you're dealing with here. You have to go back to my great books, because I don't think there's going to be another one like it. I have one in the works and one or two novels, and that's all that's left in me. But if you go back to Trickle Up Poverty, I have a great chapter on the immigration disaster where he erased our borders with Mexico, and I describe exactly how it happened and what he was doing and why he wanted to do it and basically who he's in cahoots with. I saw this coming. I saw this coming. It's a scam of the worst kind. It's a nightmare, that, and he must be stopped. By the way, I don't think that they have the votes. Pelosi says she has the votes, but I believe her as much as I believe, let us say, John McCain on anything. So I don't think they have the votes. I think they're just pandering to the illegal alien lobbyists, you know. But they're going to push it. So tonight it's more like a regular radio show than my normal free form. I'm famous in the radio business for my free association radio shows, which most of you love. But at a time like this, I can't free associate. I have to give you the facts, ma'am, just the facts. Look, I told you, I'm the only one in media who's doing anti-amnesty. The only one in the media. The rest of you are playing catch-up.
Savage.